All right. We are live. Has Simpiwe just stepped out to the bathroom, Ben? What's going on there? No, we don't have sound on Ben because Simpiwe is not there. It's all been muted, but it's okay. God, what is going on in that studio? I need to be there in order to kick some ass, clearly. Don't know what's happening. All right, I will tell you this because it's something that came up yesterday in conversation. I'm not sure if it's happened to everybody. I don't know what the depth and duration of this problem might be. But apparently, we have a big issue with our undersea cables and the internet. Is that true at the moment? There's something wrong with us because we don't have the internet. Is that right? Like a whole bunch of...
There have been issues.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Do you know what this is?
Not in great detail, but some of the towers have been either hijacked. Yesterday, some companies were complaining of not being able to get into their emails. Microsoft is actually down yesterday as well.
Yeah, but that's because Bill Gates had a new update of the vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm hearing three different possible reasons for this. You're making me happy.
But either way, the internet is just
aren't criminals just trash. Such dicks, eh? They just ruin life. And like people glamorize gangsters. These people are pieces of shit. I mean, imagine like you take on the world infrastructure because you want to go to Hungry Lion and have free lunch. No, let us just do things. We need internet.
Well, apparently it also has to do with our undersea cables, and that isn't necessarily criminals, but it could be marine animals that hate us, or
I think it's the Meg. It's that giant shark called the Meg. There was a movie about it, so it's obviously true. Yes.
The Meg, clearly, that's what it is. And it's been chewing through the cable for a couple of years, finally managed to make its way through.
Make less tasty cables. We've had this issue before.
SNES says it's true. Microsoft Teams and Outlook are both not working. And the internet cables were cut in several places around South Africa. Now, is that sabotage? Is it malicious? Or is it the Meg? We need to know this stuff.
Yeah, but it's affecting Africa in general. So, yeah.
Tabo says, is this why Pornhub is so slow?
Sure, it's hitting people on various levels now. Yeah.
Can we talk about the people that still work with Microsoft and Outlook, okay?
Yeah, that's also true.
No Teams meeting today, early weekend.
Listen, I don't even think Microsoft Teams worked before they had this problem. And that's just me. I'm just saying, it's not my favorite thing. All right, let's look at South Africa's rich list. Ben managed to find this for us. You want to take a look?
I'm listening.
Right. Can you turn my headphones down just a smidge? I mean, I am trying to wear this well, but it's still hurting.
I could have, that's why I asked. I didn't ask because I was being polite. I asked because you were talking like someone who's terrified that something too loud is going to come through their ears.
Yeah, but I had nothing to start with. So, I mean, I just thought like, fuck, this is what I got. I'm going to work with it.
Oh my God.
Your pain tolerance always impresses me.
This is a game show. It's like,
like Ben will wait 40 minutes in to be like, I can't hear, guys. I've gone deaf.
It is true. It's very funny, Ben. Sorry. Not for you so much, but for all the rest of us. Okay. So, who are the richest South Africans? You want to know? Definitely not us.
Not us yet.
So I'll tell you who's worth a lot of money here. We've got the usual suspects. I don't think there's anyone here that you've never heard of. Christo Visa is worth $1.2 billion. Of course, he's the guy with ShopRite Checkers. We've got Michiel Leroux, Patrice Motsepe.
Who's Michiel Leroux?
Michiel Leroux is also a well-known South African businessman. I must just check which exactly are his companies. Because also, he's been on these lists a lot. He founded Capitec back in 2001.
Right, okay.
He's got about 11% of Capitec. And that's a huge, enormous, successful, and fast-growing business. Patrice Motsepe, of course, Rainbow Minerals. Koos Becker, who was the Naspers man who bought into Tencent early on, or rather Tencent. Yeah, because Naspers is the holding company for... Tencent in some machination. I'm not sure how they built it, but how it works. But basically, Koos Becker, right up there, $2.7 billion. Nikki Oppenheimer, the Oppenheimer family, of course, mining, diamonds, De Beers, all of that stuff. They are at $9.5 billion. dollars, but they're only number 284 in the world.
Yeah, right.
So the Oppenheimer family may be rich in South Africa, but in the world, they're only the 284th richest. And then number one in South Africa at number 190 in the world is Johann Rupert at 12.4 billion. Of course, started off as a cigarette company, ended up as a massive luxury goods company, ended up as a massive financial services and other assets diversified across very many industries company. It's very, very successful. And Johann Rupert took what was already a fortune that his father had made, Anton Rupert I, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to make this even bigger and better. And he's gone on to do exactly that. Very, very smart investor. Most of his investments aren't even in South Africa.
Exactly. But there's a guy who's also given back so much to this country, but he gets vilified by like those cretins, those socialist cretins who just want to take everything. I mean, these are success stories. You know, I think in the last sort of 10 years, like the wokedom has vilified these people. Sure, you get unscrupulous billionaires, you get cutthroat capitalists who then do certain things, but these people have created jobs. They've created so much. Like, this should be a celebrated list rather than a, oh, it must be nice, or you guys stole stuff. Because if you look at the comments on, go to an article like this, look at the comments, you'll get all these butthurt people who have no money just moaning and bitching about these people. Like, oh, why must you be so rich? It's like, these people are the Mars of humans, right? Because they've gone so far. And in going so far, they've brought so much with them.
Well, I don't read those people's. I don't want to know from poor losers how they feel about a rich list. I'm not interested in them. I really am not. Yeah. I don't want to hear sad, pathetic, jealous person, because that's what it boils down to. It's just bitterness, resentment, and jealousy. And those people are like that because they don't deserve to be rich. That's why they're miserable and resentful and bitter. And I don't need to hear from them. Similarly, I don't hero worship rich people. Because I think it's unhealthy for people to say, oh, well, because someone's rich, they must be a fantastic person. That is not true.
Yeah, right? It's not true. Definitely not. And also just never hero worship anybody. It's just a sign of defeat.
So Simpiwe, who do you think this person is? Here, put a picture of him up here.
I know who that is.
You know who it is, Ben?
Course.
I don't. His eyes look scary. Why do they look green? Like this.
Interesting take. Interesting take. The world's richest man, responsible for all the brands that you love, and you've attacked him like a crow on his eyes.
Yeah, he's scary looking. Yeah? He looks like he's just going to zap me right now. I don't know who this is, but he's just.
That's the world's richest man.
That's correct.
He is the man behind the Louis Vuitton. There's like the big house. Basically, they have like
LVMH.
Yes, and they've got like 1,000 brands. Like, your life is touched by this man and his eyes every single day.
Yeah, I always say he's not only billionaire, but this man ain't aging well. Sure.
Well, you know what's interesting is that this guy and Ben is right. He is selling the products that everybody in the world's not necessarily richest countries are the most desiring of. So he sells, you know, luxury goods, wallets, watches, shoes, belts, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Hermes, all of that stuff's in his portfolio. All the stuff that you see in those very, very expensive shops at airports where, you know, you think I could never afford anything in that shop. Well, somebody is, and they're going in there and buying the stuff. You know that millionaire's diamond walk in Sandton?
Yes.
Yeah,
those are his shops. And you know what happens is poor and stupid people from all over the world go into those shops. They buy expensive stuff from this man, and he laughs with his green eyes and he's not aging well. And he laughs at them because he is now the richest man in the world. He is worth a reported $237.8 billion. And he's not going to Mars. He's not wasting that money or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Of course he's not. But he's basically Johann Rupert times 100. If you really want to put it into context, just how rich and successful that guy is, because he's times 100 in the sheer portfolio and scale of his wealth and the number on his wealth. Like, that is really quite something.
And then number two is now Jeff Bezos of Amazon. And number three is Elon Musk. Just a little while ago, Elon was the richest man in the world. Now he's the third richest man in the world. So it's tough up there. Things never Things it's, never stay the same for long.
But like quantifying liquid wealth or whatever these things are, it's quite subjective. I mean, if the Oppenheimer family had to basically sell every diamond that's still in their possession, because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's how the diamond trade works, right? They've correct. Got so much, they regulated in order to create a price. So if they had to, like, if everything on a face value was sold, I'm pretty sure they would be up there as well.
Yeah, they probably would be, because again, these guys don't have, it's not like they've got a balance in their bank statement at the end of the month.
No, that's what poor people look at.
$100 billion. You couldn't fit that on most bank statements anyway. They've probably got, yeah, I've got a substantial amount of money in the bank, but their real wealth is in owning companies, owning shares, owning options, being able to invest in things. That's where the real like value is, and it's not in cash. So
yeah, I mean, but sure, like the richest person is actually Vladimir Putin.
Probably.
So if you really want to break it down, like, this is just like the commercial quantifiable rich list. I would love to know what the real money is. Like all these warlords and
like the richest gangster,
people who run
the
these
richest drug dealers. Ooh.
Well, I can tell you about one, and then we must get into whether or not you would want to be one of these no money millionaires. But there's one who's just raised his head above the parapet wall in a complete clusterfuck of a country called Haiti. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this story over the week. What a story. I brought it up with Jack Mutlante on Tuesday, but Haiti has basically gone to absolute shit again. It's never really been a fantastic place. And you remember how much opprobrium was directed at Donald Trump not so long ago for saying, Haiti's a shithole country. You remember he said it's a shithole? Mm-hmm. And people were very upset. They're like, how can you call Haiti a shithole country? And people like Bill Maher and Conan O'Brien were all wearing shirts saying Haiti is already great, as opposed to make America great again. And they made a big statement, all stood on a beach in Haiti saying, look, this place is wonderful. Well, guys, I think you got to eat your hats and your shirts now, because it is not. It is being run at the moment. It's a half of an island. One half of the island is called the Dominican Republic, which actually is not such a bad place after all. It's been run pretty well. It seems like it's almost bizarre. It's almost like an experiment in government. This will tell you why government's important. No Politics Friday, excepted for this particular story. But one half of that island is called the Dominican Republic. It seems to be stable, run reasonably well. They have an economy to speak of. It's not paradise in every way, but it's a hell of a lot better than what's on the other side of the fence. Because Haiti, which has just never been able to not be a complete dumpster fire. Haiti's run now by a guy, I'm not kidding about this, you know what his name is? Barbecue.
Wait, what?
There's a
like
warlord.
Barbecue as in what Americans call a pie. Barbecue.
Correct. The guy's name is Barbecue. Some people say he's called Barbecue because his dad used to run a barbecue chicken stand or something. A lot of people also saying that he's called Barbecue because they are literally roasting people on the streets in Haiti and eating human flesh. There is cannibalism back on the menu in Haiti. It is that bad a place. So how do you like them apples?
Wow. Not that these work people have any conscience and they don't know what shame is, but they've just basically said Haiti's great and these guys are now cannibals. At some stage, where is the whole thing of like, Trump's actually really not that bad, but not like people with like a common sense are said. When did these morons just like the things that he said over the time? It's just only getting better with age. All of these quotes are aging so well. Mm-hmm. And all these stupid knee-jerk reactions like Haiti's already great. Fuck, these people are such morons.
They are such morons, and that's why we need to call them out on this. If you haven't seen it already, you'll be able to look this up fairly easily. You'll see a whole bunch of American celebrities, Sean Penn, those kinds of people, whose chief motivation is I hate Donald Trump for whatever reason. And you may feel the same. But the fact that they went and compared Haiti to what is going on in America just shows you how out of touch these guys are. It's crazy.
And the incident never forgets, nor should we.
Correct. Very, very good. All right, Ben, I'm just going to flash this on screen and you can give us a summary. You found this little bit of an article. about No Money Millionaires, and it's too small on the screen anyway for people to read. So you're going to have to give us a little pricey.
Yeah, I think it's something that I find it comes up quite a lot in the various things that I look at. So maybe my sort of Instagram algorithms or things that I get fed on YouTube. But, you know, like digital nomads is like a big term, right? That wasn't around so long ago. And that was just something that's just so simple. People can work anywhere because their jobs are remote and therefore their lifestyles change. In the past, you would need to be super rich to go, I'm going to take a sabbatical in the south of France or whatever. But you can actually do it in a sort of very scalable way now. It's like, I have this job, which I can do there. So I'm going to live there and live this life. So suddenly your world is now so much broader. This whole thing about you can only have things if you have money, it's so true. But when you become enslaved by that process of trying to make money, then what sort of life are you actually living? Because your idea of millionaire life is very much like that... Who is that dude who had that show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Like in the 90s.
Robin Leach.
So that was like the how we grew up to think that millionaires were, right? But now I think it's changed so much because things have been so disrupted in so many different markets. So I want to bring this up again because I'm all about democracy today, clearly, is that you get these buzz terms that get thrown around and people love it and they jump on it and all that kind of stuff. So what do you guys think about this fact that you can be a no money millionaire? So just to kind of make it very clear, I wake up every single day of my life. I want to make money because with money comes great options. And I would love to be a millionaire because then I have these things. But I'm not prepared to be enslaved by this 20, 30-year plan that at the end of the rainbow, I will be a millionaire and I'll have these things. Because then I've just dicked away 30 years of my prime. And I don't believe in being an old millionaire. I just think that's that's an old person whose life is slightly less shit. So what do you do in the meantime? So this whole thing about being a no-money millionaire is that you do actually live for the now. You get to experience these kind of things and you get to have the freedom without being enslaved by the process of making money.
I just want to read
the definition. Let me read
the opening to you, and you'll get an idea because I think this is quite well put. So it starts with a quote from Coco Chanel, and she said, "The best things in life are free. The second best things are very, very expensive," which is hilarious. Very, very clever. She says that, and then it starts with, "What's the difference between eating in a fancy beachside restaurant or sitting on the beach with a coffee?" You know, the one is expensive and the other one doesn't cost you anything, right? And as far as I know, all the best beaches in the world, or at least a great majority of them, are not owned by anyone. They are public property. So you could go and sit on pretty much any beautiful beach in South Africa and have a thermos flask and a coffee, and you could sit there and watch the sunrise, and it would cost you less than 10 rand.
True.
You thought about that? Anyway, that's how it starts. What's the difference between driving a supercar on a Mediterranean coastline or cycling along the US coastline?
I mean, obviously you don't want to be a cyclist. I get what they're saying there, but I think that's the bad analogy for this point.
Another example they give. Let's move on because I agree with you on cycling, okay? What's the difference between being rich and not having to work or simply not having to work? Money is the difference, obviously, but the experience is similar. This doesn't mean you shouldn't want to make money, only that 90% of a millionaire's lifestyle is available to you for a few hundred rand a week. That is your first goal.
So I'll take it further is that people make money also for security because you want to know that at some stage you'll have money because you won't be able to make money. It's like nobody wants to listen to me in 20 years' time. I'll be old, long in the tooth. I can't make money through media, content creation, those kind of things. So I must make money for that time or have some sort of worldly pivot. I don't know what it is. So we have earning time frames, right? That's why people think I'm going to work for the next 20 years because I won't be able to work after that. I get that. I get that argument. Mm-hmm. But I think like my biggest takeout with this whole no money millionaire thing is that you've got to understand in life that certain things absolutely enslave you and then ruin your life. So I always look at it like that. Sure, I can get a job right now. And for 20 years, I can make good money.
Sure.
But then what are those 20 years really going to mean? I'm chasing a certain kind of millionaire, or I can make okay money now. Still, I mean, that's always the goal. But every day I've got time, and time is just that most amazing quantity. So I like the idea of the no money millionaire. It's not something, for a lot of people will go, well, I'm poor, therefore I'm just going to claim this. Like, no, you should always have ambition, always have drive. But I want to be enslaved by absolutely nothing other than just my zest for life.
In other words, Ben, you would categorize freedom above being wealthy?
Material wealth, absolutely. I like that I have my own time. I mean, I think I'm a pretty dependable person to work with. If the stuff needs to be done, I get it done. But at the same time, don't bug me and think I'm going to sit somewhere. I mean, that's why I've never actually had a real proper job.
Interesting.
You agree?
You guys. No, I don't. I think this is how I view it. I'm all for like living in soft luxury and kind of experiencing the finer things in life, but also the finer things in life come with some sort of hefty paycheck with it. But in like my goals of becoming a millionaire, I think you need to normalize certain things and you need to get into the habits of like going to the beach on Saturday or Sunday or going to the park and doing all those non-expensive things, but also treating yourself to like the big things now and again. So I'm not waiting for 20 years to drive my dream car. It was like, I've worked so hard, I can afford this, I'm doing it now. So for me, it's like, I've achieved like driving my dream car. Now what's the next big goal? Oh, let's get the dream house. And you kind of like work towards that. But in between all of that, I still want to be like, oh, yesterday I went to Durban and came back. So for me, it's in between of like, I do want to have the freedom of just chilling all day, every day. But the reality is I don't. So I have to work. And I know that if I work for like 3-4 days now, come the weekend, I can reap the benefits.
Yeah. I think another good thing about this is that it makes people more present. If you just have this thing, this big lofty Mars plan for your life and your wealth, is that that's all you have, okay? So you're not really present in the relationships that you have. You're not really present in the potential that you have to do new things or learn new things or start new relationships. I mean, like, if I just decided tomorrow I'd only do a certain thing, then you guys would fall away. I like the fact that I've got an hour with you on a Friday.
Yes.
Doesn't make me rich, but I feel like I'm rich. I feel like a millionaire sitting here because I get to talk. I get to read comments from Carl that are always off the mark. I mean, it's just, this is happiness right now for me.
Slippery Pickle says something that I think is true. And I agree with Simpiwe to some degree. I think we all have to, you know, we have to be realistic about this. It's all good and well, like having a philosophy, but you have to make the money. There's got to be the actual cash. But Slippery Pickle says, the billionaires I know of never stop working. So often I've thought about if I had just magically, suddenly I won the lotto or whatever, I suddenly had hundreds of millions around somewhere. Would I stop doing this? I don't think so. Would I stop doing a lot of the things that I love doing? I definitely don't think so. Would I stop doing interesting and amazing? I'd probably do more of them. And the only thing stopping you right now, and this is the point about that, is that you think money is the obstacle to you doing all the things that you want.
Yeah.
But that's like saying, I'll get fit next year, or I'll get into that relationship with that girl that I've been talking to for. I'll get into that next month. I don't need to do that. Exactly. I'm too busy now. And then you find excuses to not do what you really want to do. That's on you. And most of us in a modern society, we don't have like survival stuff, right? Like I'm talking about in the majority of the world's population now. You're not being immediately, you know, put in danger. No one's trying to kill you right now. There are some places in the world where that's true, like where barbecue is, for example, in Haiti. But if you're living in South Africa in 2024, of course, money is a major problem for many of us. Our economy is difficult. Things cost a lot of money. But if that's going to be the reason that you don't do the things you need to do, how can you be sure that you'll even be here next year? How can you be sure that your health will hold up? How can you be sure that you will have the people that you care about in your life anymore? You've got to do those things today. And that's the lesson, I think, from that article. And I think that that's really valuable. The best things in life are free.
Yes.
But it's nice to have a BMW. But it's nice to have this outfit. It's nice to go on. That's the thing.
It makes life a tad bit easier. But don't let
building the wealth for those kind of things be your limitations. It's almost like, you know, when guys look at girls and go, oh, you know, if I was just like had a six pack or if I had more money, then I'd go talk to her. But like, no, go talk to her now.
Yes.
What's going to happen? You're going to learn that actually those things that you thought were so important to you, she might not actually care about as much. And it's the same thing when you try to live this life you do. Okay, cool. So you might not be able to rent a boat in Croatia this summer, but like do some stuff in Hearties, give it a roll, see where you go with it and start working into it.
Yes, do that. Well, and also,
go and float on some hyacinth first up.
People think that money will make them into this adventurous person. No, it just brings out more of who you are. So if you've always been a homebody, guess what? You're still going to stay at home with that $1 million. Yeah. If you've always wanted to be a groovist, you're going to groove every day now because you have the funds to do it. And if you've wanted to travel, guess what? You're going to do more of that because it brings out your personality. Well, you know, those people on I Blew It.
Yeah, I like that.
Simply, I'm going to give you credit. Because you do this stuff, and Ben, you do too. That's one of the reasons I love doing the show with you two. You know, to bring it full circle. Oh, here's a big kumbaya moment. But the fact is, both of you guys do this. Like I know Simpiwe does this because when I ask her what are you doing this weekend, she's doing cool shit with her friends. And you know, it's the little things. Like, oh no, this weekend, this is the game we're playing, or we're going to this place together, or we're going to sit and have conversations about this stuff. And those don't cost you money. And Ben, you get to explore parts. I said this in the first hour when you before you'd arrived. You get to explore parts of this country that I feel embarrassed I haven't seen. And it doesn't always have to be like, oh, well, this is going to cost me thousands of rands to do. You're doing it anyway. And I think that's the lesson. So listen, I have to get going. I know you guys want to talk about AKA and the murder case because there are these five guys on the stand and I'm not sure what the story is there.
I want to get some previous thoughts on this because, I mean, she's more level headed than me.
I'm going to be listening. I have to head to the airport. But I also heard that I saw you tweeted something or X'd something this morning, Ben, about like Senzo Miyua's trials, number one again, trending in South Africa. It's been 10 years.
It's like the Zondo Commission of Murder Trials, just with less purpose.
Just quickly, let's get the results of that poll as well. So just to remind you guys before you finish up the show, because you're going to have to do the show, what the poll results are. So James, get us the results of that poll so that we can have a look at that. Have 172 votes so far, and people will have voted on whether or not they think it's a waste of time to go to Mars. I'm going to leave it to you, Simpiwe and Ben. I will see you guys. I'll be listening on my way. I got to go to the airport. Right,
happy times.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. And then there was two.
So where's the poll? I mean, I thought that was a big buildup, and now we got no poll.
I guess James, I have to walk in. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna open up with this. Okay. So the AKA. Murder accused. There's five guys on the dock. Okay, mm-hmm. Five guys.
Yes.
Am I the only one that picked up that it was very clearly a female, petite-ish kind of person who shot him? I mean, we saw those CCTV things, right? In every WhatsApp group in the country, we were all bombarded with it. It was on social media. Everybody saw that clip. Whether you're into that kind of stuff or not, everyone saw that murder. That was not a guy in the gut with the gun.
I will say this. So I had a conversation with someone who used to be AKA's part of AKA's bodyguard team, right? And he's basically shared that how in that world, they always kind of have to anticipate the worst and prep for the worst and prep for like who might have a hit on who and whatnot. And it's very real. And 9 out of 10 times, they usually know the person that put the hit out before the hit has even gone out.
Yeah.
And they prep for that. So they know who are the potential targets or potential people to put the target. And they're saying in this case, it's quite obvious from his perspective who might have put the target out there.
Right.
And it's such a black and white thing for him that he's like, I don't even follow the case until the right people have kind of been identified. I don't know if the right people have, but that's kind of how it works in the security world. On some, oh, this is a very close cut. It's either three suspects or, who would have put out the hit.
Yeah, so this is actually quite a big discussion. If this was a crime investigation podcast, I would be all into this. So, okay, they got five people who've done this thing, okay? But now identities are revealed. These people are not guilty, they're not innocent, they're just there as suspects.
Yes.
I find straight away that's interesting because those people are now defined as the murder accused. That's because none of these people have mounted to anything else in life, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
But are they now bringing them in as a link to the people they really want to arrest? Because that's also that.
Yes. So ideally, they want to get the person who actually made that call to say he needs to be taken out. Ideally, right? But you first need to start the prawns before you get to the king or queen. And in this case, they have five suspects. I don't know if these people are the right ones. It's been very interesting as well. The guy that was there with them hasn't really said anything in terms of what he saw and what he experienced building up, which has also been, it's made this entire case very like, there's a bit of yeah, it's murky. There's something going on here, especially when he looked at how the night went and where he was standing. He was not supposed to kind of be standing like that and left open like that. So that also means that there was a lot of planning beforehand, even with the AKA team, to kind of be like, he needs to be here and kind of everybody else needs to be away.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, these things do take so much time. I mean, we're not going to touch on the sentiment you were thinking because I've also lost what's going on there. But what it always boils down to is that the cops have to be certain so as not to butcher these cases. So the Oscar trial, right? I don't know if the guy on duty that night was drunk, but he messed up a lot of evidence. And then when he got into the like onto the actual stand, he was a mess. So people keep saying, like, where's the justice? Why aren't there any suspects come forward? The cops and the police in general, I'm going to give them credit here. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But they have to formulate these cases so there's no holes. They need to be so certain so that by the time they actually put someone in there as an accused or a suspect, whatever,
yes,
there's a huge trail behind that to be certain that that person can be linked in a certain way that they want to do. Because if it's not, then the case is on the back foot from the start and you're never going to get justice.
Yes. And as someone who watches a lot of crime dramas and like
any female over there 20 years, carry on.
Yes, who could basically do this job in my sleep if you know, I was getting paid. It does take long, but in the same breath, it shouldn't take this long. That's also part of the issue is that they lose, evidence is very fickle, and being able to find the right evidence, you have a very short window of time to find it.
Sure.
It's been 10 years. And it's also been shown and proven that people's memory and recollection of things changes over time.
Yes.
So I could have been with Ben this morning and I'm like, I was with Ben and he was wearing a white top. And then 3 weeks later, I'm like, yeah, I was with Ben and I think he was wearing a whitish top. Can you see how it's changed
in a
very short period of time? And people only remember like very impactful moments or days. So if someone was like, what did you get up to yesterday? If there was nothing out of the ordinary, you know, and now 10 years later, when they're like 3 days before the murder, what were you doing? You're like, I really don't
Not credible know. Witnesses. And these people do drugs and alcohol as well. So they're going to be adult to start with.
Yes. So now the first statement doesn't correlate with the second statement. And now you kind of are at square one, like 6 months later in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
So they do have some time to, yeah, they do have some like leeway, but it's also like, you need to get this like now, like within the next year.
You got to strike while the gun is always hot.
Yes.
But just going back to the AKA thing, like where do you see justice being served? The person who pulled the trigger behind bars or the person who called the hit?
The hit.
Yeah, I would say so too. So the person who pulled the trigger, I mean, we know in this country you can pay someone like, I don't know, gift voucher for chicken in or probably get you a murder in certain places.
Yes.
We know this because life is very cheap and crime is very widespread.
Mm-hmm.
So that person, cool, because then that person will have answers to who paid them, who e-walleted them for that night on Florida Road.
Yes, but we also want to know why was the hit put. You see, this is what makes it juicy. Like the guy who shot him, bam, bam. It's another killing.
I think it was a girl. Let's give credit here. Equal opportunity here.
Okay.
Inclusive society.
They, them, who shot him. who shot AKA. For them, it's just another oak. It's in Durban. Durban's notoriously known for having Inkabi problems, or not problems, but they have a lot of hitmen in Durban. Like they're known for that. So it's like, for him, it was just another day at work. It's the person that put the hit. Why? You know, and I have my own reasons. I think it was the dad.
Well, everyone's got the theory that it was the dad of his late girlfriend, fiance?
Fiance. I think so as well.
Well, that was always everyone's theory after day one.
I think so as well. He has the money. He stays in Durban. He's been warned before, AKA, not to go to Durban. It just, you see, now I'm doing my 1+1 on social media. I think. Personally, allegedly. Yeah, I don't want to get sued.
Well, always allegedly. I mean, we brought this up allegedly. But I mean, it's just interesting how this thing goes and like who becomes suspects and whose identity. Like, that's what I always feel. Like, your identity becomes known. and then you'd known as the suspect of the kill.
I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's that.
Well, in this country, yeah, sure. People have way worse things hanging over them. Okay, I want to see what this poll is. James, can we sort this out?
Yeah, okay, cool. The poll's results are in the private chat. Oh, okay.
See, James always has a plan.
All right.
Is the expedition to Mars worth it? 51%. Yes, 51. 42, leave me out of it. 5%, let's do Jupiter.
Okay. Why Jupiter?
See, I mean, I don't think people took this seriously. But hey, 51%, I'll admit defeat on that. I didn't say it wasn't worth it. I just said it's like, do people really care? See, now I've been misquoted. I've been misquoted and mispolled. I think we should wrap it up on that.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Oh, they said Zuma math. Yeah. I don't know how Zuma does his maths.
I think we wrap it up from here. Have a fantastic Friday.
Oh, who ends the show? I don't know. Like, do you have access to end the show? James, are you ending the show? They have to kill the stream.
They have to kill the stream?
Yes.
Oh, God. This is so much admin. I was given pre-instructions.
Kill the stream. There, you have to do it. You have to kill the stream. That's how the show ends.
It's very murderous talk here, Sabira. I just think we should wrap this up. I mean, is anyone else going to die if we just walk out here?
Okay, in 3, 2, 1.